I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're live at Texans practice. The quarterback for the Houston Texans, Davis Mills, joins us now. Davis, I would ask how confident you are, but sometimes a little hair below the nose speaks louder than words. When you're rocking the mustache, and we didn't even notice this, you must be feeling pretty good heading into year two.
Definitely. I mean, the mustache is just a little switch up. Had a beard all last week and decided to clean it up a little bit. We'll see how long it stays, but definitely confident coming into this year. Felt like I took a big jump in the offense and just going out and making plays out there on the field at the end of last season. So I'm really excited for this year and stepping up from what I did at the end of last year.
What was the high point of last year for you and the low point of last year as you look to build on that in year two?
I think the high point was really those last couple games where I stepped in as a starter and was starting to play some of my best football. Felt really comfortable out there making plays. And the biggest change you notice out on the field is you're not going out there and thinking much. You're just going out and reacting and playing football. And that's really what I've been doing my whole life. So it was nice to kind of get the feel and the sense of that at the next level at the end of last year. And the low point was probably – there was two. One of them might have been the Buffalo game.
Okay.
Four picks.
Yeah.
I think we got shut out. One of the worst games of my life. I think I rebounded after that the week after. And then there was another time early last year, started training camp.
I remember. We talked about, trust me, it was six. We kept track. And we talked to Justin Reed afterwards, and Justin said, you know, he kind of went and tapped you on the shoulder. You've been pretty clean here, though. I don't think you've thrown an interception, but what was that last practice like? Because some people were like, you're overreacting. I was like, I'm sure that was kind of a learning point for you.
No, it was rough. I think it was at the end of one of the first weeks. We probably had
– I think it was a Saturday.
It was a Saturday night scrimmage.
So we might have had four or five installs in up to that point. Mm-hmm. We're installing one thing every single day, and at the end of the week, you kind of go back and we're calling plays from every single install. So my head was all over the place. Mm-hmm. Was just trying to go out there and, I mean, made a couple poor decisions. And, I mean, you throw those interceptions, they make you pay for it. So,
yeah.
I mean, luckily it was in practice, though, and not
– Yeah.
Not early in the season.
But. One of the things that stands out to me this year, you talk about development. Everybody's talking about last year, but the expectations. Like last year, us included, all right, let's see what Davis Mills has. Let's see how he adjusts. Let's see the rookie, you know, get, you know, acclimate. That, like, overnight went away. It's like Davis Mills is the guy. We have these expectations. You're being scrutinized more every single snap. And that wasn't there last year. It was like, yeah, we're watching you. We remember that Saturday night and obviously that other stuff. But that alone seems to be a whole different world that you're experiencing. What's that like?
Definitely. I mean, I think the expectations, the pressure mm-hmm. from everybody, I mean, it comes with the role as being mm-hmm. the starting quarterback for a team in the NFL. I mean, as one of those people in the positions, you got to pay it no attention. Obviously, you put the pressure on yourself to go mm-hmm. out there and make plays and play to your best ability every day. But, I mean, I'm just going out there and trying to be myself, be confident. I feel like I've always been a really confident person.
It also has to feel good.
Definitely. I mean, I was dreaming about this position, being in this position since I was probably 6 years old when I started football. So I'm really excited going into this year and mm-hmm. excited to see what we can go out and do.
Sometimes coaches play. Davis Mills joining us straight off the practice field, quarterback of the Houston Texans. Sometimes coaches, I don't want to call it mind games, but they always talk about competition. There's no starter. Lovie Smith, second day of training camp, comes out and says, Davis Mills, he's our quarterback. When we vote for team captains, I'm voting for Davis Mills. What's it like just having Lovey in your corner like that?
It's pretty cool. Obviously, it's humbling. I mean, I think I still have a lot to prove and a lot to work on every day we come out here on the field. Got to prove it to my teammates, got to prove it to myself. But, I mean, I'm I'm here to work and get better each and every day. So, I mean, I think the leadership role comes with being the quarterback. You got to step up into that role and lead the team, and I feel very confident and comfortable doing that. So,
right.
I'm ready to roll with it.
We're missing the obvious question. How have you, in your view, come along this year? Like, what's happening on the field for you?
I mean, I think I really took the momentum from the last couple of games last season when we really started playing some of our best football. Mm-hmm. I took it into the off season, then I think I showed up in OTAs and then really the start of this camp, and I've carried on that momentum. I think we've been playing really well as an offensive unit so far, and, I mean, I'm excited to go out and put up some points in preseason, and then once we kick off the season versus the Colts at home.
You're on your second head coach. You're on your second offensive coordinator. How different is the offensive system? Are you learning a new system? What are the, like, differences between this system and last year's?
It's very different. Last year, I think the base of the system was kind of the New England scheme.
Okay.
A lot of those coaches and Tim Kelly.
Isn't that hard before the snap? We always hear, like, it seems like you're taking a test before the snap.
Completely quarterback-driven pre-snap, and the big focus from Pep this year when he stepped into the role was he wants to take as much off of the quarterback as he can so we can play fast. Obviously, we still have a lot of control in making sure we're in the correct protection and the correct mic point, basically confirming or changing anything, but the center is doing the initial point, making the initial calls. So that takes a lot off my plate, especially in the run game when we can just go out there and play fast and the center is pointing it. But I have a lot of familiarity with this system from what I did out at Stanford and my 4 years at college, because this is the new pro style, or the old pro style system, where all the verbiage is pretty much the same from what I did in college. So a lot of it, looking back and installing these new plays, was pretty easy going forward.
Is that fun for you? Like, it's been, film study's been a popular topic the last week or so. Do you enjoy that as someone who, you know, people talk about your mind? You're obviously, we always hear, Stanford guy. Do you like learning new stuff and terminology and all that?
Definitely. The best thing in film is when you're going in there and seeing something. Obviously, you want to fix your mistakes if you had any out there. But then the best thing is you'll see something on film and you're able to see, hey, what if we did this? And you'll come out the next day and run it and it works. And, I mean, that's one of the most rewarding feelings, especially once you get in the season. You'll see, you'll game plan for a team and see what the team the week before did to them on offense. And you'll start adding some of those plays into the installs and making sure you're out there playing efficient, but also attacking the defense every single play and trying to find their weaknesses.
This is obviously a loaded question, but I know people are curious. How much film study do you do away from the facility?
Honestly, I don't do a ton away from the facility, but my hours, I'd get all my film done at the facility.
So, when you're off the clock.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of added hours when we're done from team official meetings that we stay in the building and watch a lot of film here.
Yeah,
it's a lot easier with the access we have to the computers and pulling up cut-ups than I have to do it at my house on the iPad. So
one of the things that us and others who follow this team and across the NFL are going to be talking a lot about this year is the wide receivers. You got Brandon Cooks. I mean, come on. I mean, the guy's been terrific. And then we all have questions. I mean, how are you handling that? I mean, just in terms of meeting rooms to the field, and because they're going to ask your input as well, like what you're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, we have Brandon, and then we got a handful of other guys who are competing to be that number two right now. But, I mean, I think I'm excited. I'm really excited for what we have in that room and their playmaking abilities to go out and make plays. I mean, I don't know if there's a clear-cut number two. I think there's a lot of guys who are stepping up into that role. I mean, that we have a lot of weapons out there, so it's hard to choose.
What does Davis Mills do for fun? I heard you try to explain, I think it was with McAfee, some of the video games that you play. They are way too deep for me. What do you do for fun? What kind of games are you playing?
So the big thing, first, I'd say golf.
Okay, there you go.
Probably lose a lot of time for that now that we're started camp. Lovey's not a big fan of
you
people golfing on
You grew up by a course, right?
There. Yes, I grew up on a course in Georgia.
Yeah.
So that's number one. And then video games is second. I switch it up. Whatever. A lot of times it's like whatever my friends are playing at the time. I just try to – it's another way to get away and hang out with your friends when you're not doing something.
There you go. Davis Mills.
Get as many as you want, Justin.
With us here on In the Loop.
Nobody can see it, but Davis is rocking a mustache.
We talked about it.
That he keeps it through camp, and we see how it does.
We'll
see what happens.
It's got to get nice and thick and let it go down.
I don't know.
Get the whole thing.
I still got to hit. Yeah. I got to hit puberty before it goes in too well.
There you go. Justin Brett had to grab a donut on his way out as well. We saw a video of you saying three people you would have dinner with. You mentioned Kanye. The internet goes nuts. If you could have dinner with three people, who would they be?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. That I just started rattling off random names, and I got that question. I think that was junior year of high school when I answered that the first time.
I'm glad that you're giving this thought. This is going to be big. This is big.
Let's just say the group of Rufus Du Sol, the music group. I think it's a three-man group.
See, I don't even know DJ what that group, is. So. I'm just not. Is that like we'll more of like a hip thing now?
Yeah, they make like house EDM music. So I think it's a three-man
EDM,
group. So that's
okay.
An easy answer. Favorite band.
How much time do you spend on the internet? There's a lot of. Is it easy for you to avoid social media?
Yeah, I mean honestly, I don't have too much time for it. I've never been a huge fan of social media, just because. It's at least posting wise, I'll go on and look at my friends' posts and see my teammates post and stuff. But
because
I think it's a lot of effort to kind of maintain two identities.
I always talk about headline porn, and I'm going to be honest because you're right here, dude. The neck picture that everyone talks about, your neck's not as big as that picture. We got you at a bad angle. Sometimes I'll take pictures and I'll be like, dude, I am such a fat ass. And like they just get me at the wrong angle. Like Do you notice the neck picture and stuff?
Cause I noticed it, and I had some friends send me it right when it started blowing up, and I've never laughed so hard.
You gotta own it.
The best thing, there was one like Twitter feed I think at one point that
it was Mills' neck,
It said something. For every 25 likes we get on this tweet, we're going to make his neck longer. And it basically like it had my neck snaking across the screen, and then it had me at some point like. My head above all the buildings in Houston, like taller than all the skyscrapers. It was pretty funny.
I was saying, you got to own that. I mean,
I don't mind. My mom was trying to tell me to hit up the marketing people so I could get like turtleneck sponsors and stuff.
I said at the very beginning when we first saw you, I said, Davis Mills kind of has like some undercover swag. I saw you rocking Jordans. You were rocking the red visor last. You got the sleeve. Are you one of those like look good, feel good, play good type of guys?
I mean, not
the red
too much.
Visor looks sweet, though.
Oh no, it was
yeah,
pretty
that
cool.
was nice.
So that was I actually took it off before we got into the team periods. I was joking around with our equipment guy Darwin to put one on, just not knowing that he'd actually do it. And he sent me a picture the night before, late, that he put a red visor on the helmet. So I rocked it for the first part of practice, then took it off. But it started. I got a lot of comments on the arm sleeve last year, and that started because I had really bad turf burn on my elbow that I needed to cover up.
Yeah,
and then I just kept rocking with it because I started playing well. But
yeah, the sleeve is—it's a good look for sure. Are you already studying for Indianapolis? Is that how that works? Are you already like kind of taking a look at the Colts? How does that whole thing? Are you watching practice? Are you looking up on the Colts? How does that process work?
I mean, not a ton right now. Obviously, we're gonna have a lot of time to prepare once the preseason game's finished. But I mean, I think in the coming weeks we'll start to slowly build. I know they have a new defense coordinator, so they'll bring in some different stuff from this year. And we already started looking at it a little bit in OTAs. But I mean, right now we're just really focused on ourselves and making sure we're going out there and improving every day.
Davis, we appreciate it, man. Looking forward to watching you this year and looking forward to seeing where things go from week one to the end of the season. Thanks so much, man.
Definitely.
Appreciate it.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.